Spurgeon said this. He says, a church has no reason for being a church when she has no love within her heart, or when that love grows cold. Lose love, Spurgeon says, you lose all.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day and welcome, everyone. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study of the book of Revelation with the conclusion to the message, The Loveless Church. Now, Pastor Bill.
Remember one of the signs of the last day Jesus told us. He says, because sin, lawlessness, is going to abound, the love of many will wax cold. Well, the love there, that word in Matthew, I think it's 24:12, that word love is agape. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about Christians, that their love is going to get cold. That's the sign of the last days. Well, are we living in the last days? Yes. Now, but here's what shocks me. And this is why we always have to do a self-exam. What's shocking to me is that the church at Ephesus, they were a good church, man, but they did not have any idea about their true spiritual condition. They were shocked. Now, when you think about this, this is not, when Jesus said you left your first love, this is not about, hey, man, I have my quiet time down. I have my Bible study down. I have doctrine down. I have church attendance down. Now, that's not what this is talking about. Jesus is saying right here to every generation, you gotta get back with me. You can't really operate without me being your first love. I'm the head of the church. You follow me? So he's going to tell us here how to restore, if you will, when you have walked away, you've deserted first love to a Christian. This is a love letter, okay? Look at verse 5 now. Look what he tells us to do. It's a command in the present tense. It's so remember, or literally, keep on remembering. Remember therefore. Therefore takes us back to first love, all right? Our first love, Jesus. So remember therefore from where, that's a very important word, where. Where'd you fall? Where have you fallen? Where did that spiritual decline happen? So he commands, our Lord commands them, he commands every Christian, all of us, every generation, that if you've deserted your first love, he says to do something. He says, would you remember? That means recall. It means to go back. Go back and find the time when I was your first love. And find out why you departed from it. What caused you to depart? And find it. And then what caused it to replace me, Jesus is saying right there. So I could say to myself, you know, Bill, go back, remember. I go back a lot of times and remember things about the Lord. I go back to Jack's Beach where he saved me, you know, nearly 50 years ago. You know, I was looking, I remember the first day I got saved there. Oh, my, it changed my life forever. And then y'all have heard me tell the story, and I leave, and this soldier's hitchhiking, and I pick him up, and I got saved on the beach. I had a case of beer in my car, you know what I mean? And you know when you have a cooler in your car, and there's ice in the beer can. Back then, I don't know how they do it today, but there were 10 or whatever metal beer cans. Well, they rattle, and so I'm telling this soldier all about Jesus. I've been saved for 1 hour, man. And I'm going, you don't know, something just happened to me. I didn't know what happened to me. I didn't know justification, sanctification, propitiation. I never read the Bible, but I wanted to tell him about what happened to me. And about a mile down the road, he finally said, would you mind letting me out? I let him out. I drove to Demopolis, Georgia, went into a hotel room, man, and I remember this the other day when I was doing this, or yesterday when I was doing this sermon, and I remember I went into that hotel room, and I happened to open a drawer. There was a Bible there. I didn't have a Bible. I've been saved for one day, man. And I pull that Bible out and I start reading it, and there's notes in it to help me understand, and I still have it today. It's my first Bible. And then I take it with me, I steal it. Yeah, I did. And so I left, and about 5 miles down the road, I went, oh God, I stole this. I'm sinning already, you know. And it hurt me. No, I was really hurt. I went back and I said, sir, I said, listen, I'm sorry. I'm not a thief, but I am a thief. And I said, here, take this Bible back. And he goes, oh, no, those are free to whoever wants them. I said, praise God. So I'm saved one day. I have a Bible the same day. And the guy forgave me. I mean, I'm on a roll. And so what are you saying, Bill? I'm saying this. When you go back and if you really remember the beginning, I mean, do you remember, I don't know if you felt this way, but I didn't care if I had 10 cents in my pocket as long as I had Jesus. I didn't care as long as I had the Lord because he was everything to me. He changed me. He saved me. He cleansed me. He made me his. Amen. So he says, I want you to go back. Remember who you are. Remember what you came out of. And then look at the next one he says. He says, repent. Change your mind. Repent. And look at this one now. And do. These are commands. Repent and do the first works. Literally, the word do. Repeat your first works, okay? So he said, repent. Change your mind. Turn your heart back to me. And turn away from whatever took you from me. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, repent. What was it that captured your heart? That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, what was it that crowded me out of your heart to make that first place and me second place or third place or fourth place in your life? Was it because you love self more than me? Are you loving pleasure more than God? Of lovers of God? Do you love this world? 1 John 2, 15 through 17? Do not love the world, the things in the world, because all that's in the world and the lust therein is not of the Father. Amen. It's of the world. You know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and goes on and on. And he says, and the world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. We don't want to love the world that we're not of the world. Amen. 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 That's right. So he says to do something. I want you to listen very carefully. This is so important. And he says, I want you to do, it's a command, or I want you now to do, here's what you have to do. Repeat your very first works. Now, that's very difficult because Jesus doesn't tell us what those first works are. Do your first works. Repeat your first works. What does first works mean? Because was the church at Ephesus or of Ephesus, was it lacking works? No. So what is Jesus telling us here? I mean, this church, it was organized. It had structure, man, and it functioned very, very well. But they had deserted their first love. So it says, repeat, do your first, Jesus said, your first works. Now, the only way that you can do a first work, your first work for the Lord, is after you've experienced the new birth. Amen? Because before the new birth, you didn't work for the Lord. Is it correct? Okay, so this is why it's important right here. He's saying right here, he says, the first thing that you did, the first work you did for me on the day that I saved you, go back and start repeating those things. In other words, go back to that day that you were born again, the day that I changed your life, Jesus says. I changed it forever. The first time, go back to that day. Remember it? He says the first day when after you came to me, you for the first time in your life, you knew you were clean inside. You knew your sins had been forgiven. You knew that they were washed completely away. And also that day, go back and remember now, right after you were born again, and remember what you experienced. You experienced my love because God's love went into our hearts, didn't it? Amen? Romans 5:5. It was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us, loved one. And so here he's saying, listen, go back and you repeat the things that you did after you were born again. Do your first works all over again. Let me ask you a question. After you were born again, were you excited about the Lord? Yes. Did you tell people about Jesus? Yes. Man, did you pray? You wanted to pray. I'm going to go to class 101 and learn how to pray. No, you wanted to pray because God did something. He filled you with the Spirit, man, and you knew that. And not only that, though, here's what happened. You experienced something that day that you had never experienced before. You experienced God's love, didn't you? Now, you knew that Jesus loved you, and now all of a sudden, the one that you never cared about, didn't believe in, now you believe in and you love him. Amen? So you experienced that love, loved one. Now, man, why? He paid the penalty of your sins. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, man. He died for us, didn't he? But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So here's the thing. That day, repeat now your first works. What happened that day? Jesus Christ became the most important person in your entire life. And you believed with all of your heart that Jesus was all that you would ever need. You remember that?
Yes.
That's all. You don't need anything else, but something happened, and it happened to me. That day was the first time that I really started loving people God's way. Do you understand? And that's what he's saying. Go back to when you knew that my love was in your heart because you started loving people like you've never loved people before. You started forgiving people like you never have forgiven them before. Amen? Listen, it says in Ephesians 1:15 here, it says this. Paul says, oh, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and, here it comes, your love for all the saints. Ephesians 4:32, what did Paul say to them? He said, oh, be kind one to another, good one to another, forgiving one another as Christ had forgiven you. Then in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, be imitators of God as dear children, walking in love as Christ walked. Amen? It's that love. It's the love that never fails. It's the love that lives in our heart. So he says, remember. He says, repent and repeat. And if we don't, if he doesn't, if they didn't, he says, I'm going to remove you. Look at it. Verse 5. Or else I will come to you quickly. That literally means he is already on the way. I'm going to come to you quickly, and look what he's going to do. You're going to lose your salvation? Does he say that? No. He's not threatening them. He says, I'm going to remove your lampstand. What is the lampstand? The church. I'm going to remove your lampstand from its place unless you do something. Unless you repent. The word remove is only found here and in Revelation, I think it's 6:14, okay? It means a judicial decision, a divine judicial removal. So the removal of the lampstand. The lampstand contained the oil. The Holy Spirit is a symbol of that. In other words, a lampstand is supposed to give a light, isn't it? The light of the world and so forth. Now listen, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you know what? Where there is no real love for me, there's no real light. If Jesus is not the first love of a church, then we're already off center. Does that make sense? We're not doing things right. We're going through the motions because we just have devotion, but we don't want mechanical love, all right? We want Jesus to be our first love. Listen, a loveless church, no matter how big, how small, how pleasant, how many buildings, how many people, doesn't matter. A loveless church is a worthless church. Jesus just told us about it. I didn't call the church worthless. He did. He says, I'm going to remove your lampstand. What does that word mean? It means I'm going to remove my presence. I'm not going to be there. You can go through all the motions you want to, but Jesus will not stay in a loveless church. Oh, have you ever walked into a church and it's cold as ice? Well, I can assure you Jesus is not there, okay? Now listen, he says, no, I won't stay here. I'm going to remove my presence unless you remember, repent, and repeat. Man, welcome to the church that Jesus won't attend. Praise God. Amen? I don't want to belong to the church of Ephesus. Is that okay? No, not at all. And then he says, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more credit. But this you have, okay, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, now, which I also hate. Now, Jesus doesn't hate them. He hates their deeds, okay? And I'm going to cover this, I think it's in Pergamos, in a greater detail, but it's debatable who they are. They're probably antinomians, in other words, they into sexual sin and Gnosticism and all the sorts, okay? But we do have kind of a hint of what they were doing. The word Nicolaitans, it means Nikao, Nikaio, however it is in the Greek. It means to conquer. Laos means people, so to conquer the people. So that we get our word laity from that word, okay? Which means that they wanted to rule the sheep. You couldn't just go to God. You have to come to me to get to God. Does that make sense? So we're going to really talk about that later. Now, verse 7, the command. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural, okay? That's not just the seven, it's all churches. So Jesus here is speaking to Christians then, he's speaking to Christians now. He says, hear the Spirit of truth. Now that's going to be in all seven letters. And then now comes the command, now comes the promise. Look at it. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So in each letter, he talks about those who have overcome. Who are the overcomers, loved one? An overcomer is not a super saint. You know that, right? Okay, it's not some spiritual elite. The overcomers are this. Overcomers are believers. Those who don't overcome, they're not believers. And I'll tell you why. Let me give you the scripture, 1 John 5:4. Whatever or whoever is born of God, that's the new birth. Whoever is born of God, here it is, that's the only requirement, the only qualification. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, we are born again. We've overcome the world. Now, that's a divine truth, but that is our spiritual position. And the reason we've overcome the world is because we are in him who has overcome the world, and we are not of this world. Amen? Okay, now, listen very carefully. So, that is our, again, our eternal position without a doubt. However, that's a position. But about what in practice? See, that's where we get in trouble. Well, I'm an overcomer. Okay, but the key is this. It says faith, our faith. So without faith, there is no victory. Amen? You've overcome the world, but you're not overcoming it because of faith, not believing what God has said. Now, look at what he says. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Paradise, that word, is a Persian word, okay? It means like a lovely garden or the king's garden, if you will. It's a beautiful word. In 2 Corinthians 12:4, Paul the apostle, he was caught up into, he says, paradise, remember? What a thing. That must have been incredible. How about the dying thief on the cross next to our Lord? In Luke's gospel, chapter 23, 42, it says, and then the dying thief on the cross, he said to Jesus, oh Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, that right there is a confession of faith. Did you know that? He calls Jesus Lord, and he believed, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed that Jesus was going to live. He believed that Jesus was going to rule. He became a believer right there. The other guy, he didn't, okay? And it says, and Jesus said to him, assuredly, or I tell you the truth, I say to you today, not tomorrow, today, you will be with me, with the Lord. Think of that. In paradise. Man, just by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, you're born again. He says, the paradise of God, the tree of life. You know, if you study out Revelation 22, I think it's 1 through 3 right in there, the tree of life is right beside the river of life. Isn't that funny? It's right there beside that. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, there's two trees that's mentioned in Genesis, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was forbidden for them to eat. Remember that? Now, that tree of life, you know, we're going to partake of that tree. A tree of life means eternal life. And we're going to partake of that tree that Adam and Eve were forbidden to partake of, because if they had eaten of it after they had sinned, they would have lived forever. Amen? Yes. Think about that. But God in his love, boy, he stopped that. Man, listen, I wonder why Adam and Eve, why did they not want to go immediately and eat of the tree of life? I mean, I know they were tempted. Eve was tempted and so forth. And Adam, he just gave up his authority. But the thing is, why? I mean, why didn't they just, we're going to go to the tree of life. We can eat of that right now and live forever. They had a choice. One law in the garden. That was it. Don't eat of that tree. Yeah, and do whatever you want, but don't touch that tree. Leave it alone or don't eat of it. And so I wonder why the knowledge of good and evil was more important than the tree of life. Which tree do you want? That's a very important question, isn't it? You know, in Revelation 22:14, listen carefully what it says. It's one of the seven of the Beatitudes. It says, Jesus said, blessed are those who do his commandments, and they have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates of the city. So they're inside. We're going to be inside. But outside are dogs. The word dog means, meaning it's unclean. Sorcerers, sexual immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Isn't that amazing? Those outside, they're going to know they're outside of the kingdom. They're going to know they're outside of the city of heaven. They're going to have a full knowledge of what could have been and might have been and should have been, and they missed it. And loved one, listen, it's going to be too late for those people. It's going to be too late because after death, there's not any more second chances, you know? So Jesus said, unless you repent. And unfortunately, I guess Ephesus did not repent because that lampstand was removed. Matter of fact, the entire city was destroyed by the Goths, okay? There's Germanic people. And so there's no lampstand there today. There's just a lot of rubble and so forth. You know, can you imagine a church that was founded or planted by the Apostle Paul? It was pastored by Timothy, Paul's true son of the faith. It was taught at the very end by the Apostle of love, John. And yet, the incredible people, and yet they were warned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but they did not repent. They did not restore their first love. They didn't do that. And that is a sad lesson for today's church. I mean, think about this for a moment. To be saved, to have a saved soul, to be saved, but then live a lost life because of the first love, not living the way we should. And so Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Man. You know what Paul's last word to the church of Ephesus was? Let me read it to you. Ephesians 6:24. He closes out that great epistle and he says to the Ephesians, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. What a great love letter. You know, if something has taken the place of Jesus being your first love, well, you know what to do. It's right here. He told you what to do. He loves you so much. If there's something that has captured your heart, and I'm not saying, I don't know. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. But if there's something that's done so, then repent. Remember, repent, repeat. And Jesus will just automatically take place again where he belongs. First place in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we come to the throne of grace, all of us right now. If there's anything in any of our hearts, Father, that has taken the place of Jesus, that's first place, we know what it is and you know what it is. And Lord, we don't want it there. We don't want it there. We want you to be first place in our hearts. We never want to abandon you. We never want to desert you. We don't want to have mechanical love. We are mechanical devotion. We don't want to do things out of guilt. We want to serve you because we love you. So, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, if this church, all of us, if we deserted our first love, then restore it right now because we remember, we repent, and we will demonstrate our repentance by doing our first works all over again. So baptize us afresh. Wash us afresh. Cleanse us. Restore it. Oh God, thank you for your mercy, your goodness, and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation when we return tomorrow and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. We hope you have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.